Hello there, faithful listener. You've tuned in to Season 7 of the Bible Explained podcast. So make sure to grab your cup of coffee, because today we are going to be discussing the book of 1 Samuel. Well, hello there and happy Friday, friends and faithful listeners. I am so excited that you're here to share a nice hot cup of tea with me this morning. And yes, I said tea and not coffee because I've been drinking tea this week, which is very unlike me. But I've refrained from coffee this week while I've been sick, just to make the healing process go a little bit further for me. I've been drinking some nice lemon teas this week and also some mint teas, because I have to sadly admit that tea is probably healthier for you than coffee. But I reluctantly admit that. So I've been drinking tea. So share a nice hot cup of tea with me this week, or coffee for those of you who enjoy coffee more than tea. And let's go ahead and read 1 Samuel 18 verses 1 through 9. And speaking of coffee, check out coffee linked in the description of this episode. You're going to find two links for coffee. One looks like Ko-Fi, and that is where you can support the podcast, because this podcast is only supported through your guys' generous donations. And there's also a coffee brand that I support called 7 Weeks Coffee. It is the coffee brand that supports life in the womb. They donate 10% of everything that they make to pregnancy centers across the U.S., and they have been able to raise hundreds of thousands of dollars over the past several years, specifically to pregnancy centers. They've done a lot of good, and they make really good coffee as well. So check out those two things linked in the description of this episode. But anyway, guys, let's enjoy the reading of God's Word together. I'll be reading, as usual, out of the WEB. When he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Saul took him on that day and wouldn't let him go home to his father's house anymore. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant, because he loved him as his own soul. Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was on him and gave it to David with his clothing, even including his sword, his bow, and his sash. David went out wherever Saul sent him and behaved himself wisely, and Saul set him over the men of war. It was good in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. As they came when David returned from the slaughter of the Philistines, the women came out of all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing, to meet King Saul with tambourines, with joy, and with instruments of music. The women sang to one another as they played, and said, "Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s." Saul was very angry, and the saying displeased him. He said, "They have credited David with 10,000s, and they have only credited me with 1,000s? What can he have more but the kingdom?" Saul watched David from that day and forward. So I'd like to spend a little bit of time talking specifically about the first portion, verses 1 through 4, because a lot of people take this story of Jonathan's soul being knit with David's soul as being a homosexual union that God looked favorably on. So a lot of times whenever somebody is, you know, saying that God is okay with homosexuality, they take this story out of the Bible and they're like, well, you know, David was homosexual with Jonathan and God was okay with that. So why can't homosexual unions exist now? First and foremost, we are taking this story from a Western modern perspective, and we're not looking at it for what it actually says, and we're not looking at it culturally either. So it says in verse 1 that when David finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. So what was David saying to Saul that made Jonathan suddenly have his soul knit with David? Well, this was likely during 1 Samuel 17, where David went to go talk to Saul about defeating Goliath before David even went down to defeat Goliath. So let's turn to that. This is 1 Samuel 17, verse 32. So Saul brings David into his quarters, and here's what David says. David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine, Goliath. Your servant will go and fight him." And Saul replied, "You are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a young man, and he has been a warrior since his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine." Saul said to David, "Go, the Lord will be with you." So even Saul was moved by this passionate speech that David gave, to the point where Saul was saying just before this, "No, David, you're too young. You cannot go out and fight this Philistine." But David was like, "Yes, I can. You know, I have fought things that are way mightier than me in the past, like bears and lions, and I have been able to defeat them because of Yahweh's amazing power. God can help anybody defeat anything." And so David goes into this very passionate speech about Yahweh's might. And it sounds like Jonathan was listening to all of this. Jonathan was in the quarters with David as he was giving this speech to Saul. And suddenly, Jonathan's soul becomes knit with David's soul. And here's the thing. I'm sure Jonathan knew of David before this, because we know that Saul really loved David. And David went and played the harp for Saul whenever Saul was having his fits of rage. So Jonathan probably knew of David and maybe even saw David before as, you know, the harp player that plays for my dad or whatever. But it wasn't until this moment that Jonathan's soul became knit with David's soul. So this shows something. This shows that this speech that David gave caused Jonathan to have this deep brotherly affection for David. And I believe this is because Jonathan was very similar to David. Because don't forget, a few chapters back from this, Jonathan himself was in a very similar position that David was in when David went to go fight Goliath. Jonathan was a very young man, probably a teenager, who went out with his armor bearer to go and fight an entire battalion of Philistines. And Jonathan said to God, "God, you are able to help me no matter what the circumstances, so please look favorably on me today." Like, Jonathan had a very similar outlook towards life and towards God that David did. And because these two men were so similar in their beliefs towards God, they had their souls knit together. And notice the very specific use of the word soul as well. It does not say that Jonathan loved David as he loved his own body. It says that Jonathan loved David as he loved his own soul. The soul is very often associated with the spiritual side of things. So it almost sounds like David's love for Yahweh and Jonathan's love for Yahweh being very similar caused the two men to become very close because of this spiritual relationship that they had with God. They became close with each other. So Jonathan appreciated David's zeal for God, the same similar zeal that Jonathan had several chapters before this. And I think also, and this is my own speculation, my own two cents, there is nothing in scripture about this. I'm just going to throw this out there as my own opinion. It is interesting to me that Jonathan was not the one to go out and fight against Goliath. And why is that? I think personally, it was because perhaps Jonathan's faith was also shaken when he saw Goliath. And perhaps hearing David's impassioned speech sparked something in Jonathan that he had forgotten. So maybe Jonathan had been afraid to go out and fight Goliath, but then seeing David's zeal and fervor for God just caused Jonathan to remember something that he had lost. He had lost his faith, and now David was reminding Jonathan of that faith in Yahweh once again. So that's personally what I think. I think that this was a brotherly love and affection between two men that were very similar in their love and faith of God. So Jonathan and David had a wonderful friendship that unfortunately many people will never be able to experience. This was like once in a generation kind of friendship, basically, that Jonathan and David were blessed enough to experience with each other. And it's sad that a lot of people won't be able to experience a kind of friendship like that. And unfortunately, even more so, I think, for men, because it's so looked down upon, men loving and caring for another man. But that's the thing. This story is in scripture to show that two men can love each other. But if it's any kind of a romantic or sexual love, then it becomes against God's will. And that is also very clear in other parts of scripture where God talks about romantic love between two men as being something that is against him. But brotherly love and friendship is certainly not against God. So it says in verse 2 that after David defeated Goliath, Saul took him that day and wouldn't let him go home to his father's house anymore. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. There's that word again, soul. It says Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was on him and gave it to David with his clothing, even including his sword, his bow, and his sash. Now, why would Jonathan strip himself in front of David? That's another thing that people are like, well, Jonathan stripped himself, so that must be homosexual. Well, don't forget what happened in the last chapter. Saul had actually given David some of his clothing to go and fight Goliath with. It wasn't David's size, first and foremost. Saul is a very, very tall man, and David was just not used to it. So David didn't have any fighting clothes of his own. So Jonathan, now having this bond with David, takes off all of his kingly fighting armor and gives it to David. Now, this would have been a very precious gift because armor was very hard to come by in Israel at this time because the Philistines were very oppressive towards Israel and didn't let them have any blacksmiths. So giving David armor was a very special gift. And since they had just made a covenant of friendship, Jonathan was showing this friendship by giving David some armor that David did not have, an armor that would fit David even better. So he gave him a sword, he gave him a bow, and he also gave David his sash along with his kingly robes. Now, it's also speculated that it's possible that Jonathan knew at that moment that David was the one who was going to become the next king of Israel. And that's another reason why Jonathan gave David his kingly princely clothing. And that very well might be the case. It makes a lot of sense to me anyway that Jonathan would have known that David was the next king. This is showing even more how much Jonathan wanted to be in line with God's will as well, because from every human eyeball, basically, Jonathan would have been the next king. That is just how monarchies work. And yet Jonathan was giving his kingly clothes to David, showing David and the rest of us reading this that he was okay with David becoming the next king. Jonathan was okay with being in line with God's will for his life. Okay, after this, it says David went out wherever Saul sent him and behaved himself wisely. In other words, he listened to Saul. He was very careful to do what Saul asked him to do. And Saul set him over the men of war. It was good in the sight of all of the people and also in the sight of Saul's servants. So everybody loved David. And I'm sure that Saul was very excited that everybody loved David. You know, he made a good pick, and Saul, being a very insecure person, was very, very worried about how people viewed him. So imagine his shock in verse 6 when the people start viewing David a little too favorably. It says, as they came, when David returned from the slaughter of the Philistines, the women came out of all the cities of Israel singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tambourines, with joy, and with instruments of music. The women sang to one another as they played and said, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. So they're singing this song and they're giving David a little bit more praise than they're giving Saul. Now they're giving Saul praise in this song, but Saul is very angry that they're giving David even more praise than they're giving him. In other words, he's getting mad that David is becoming a little too popular with all of the ladies and with all of the people in Israel. Now, this does bring me to one thing. Why would the women sing this? Like, do you just want to anger the king Like to me, this is just like fighting words. Like, I can kind of understand how Saul would get angry with this. I can understand it as a prideful individual myself. Like, if I was in a leadership position, I guess I'd be pretty mad if a bunch of people were, you know, singing the praises of somebody under me. I can understand Saul's anger here. However, Saul was not going to be the king for long, and he should have known that, and he shouldn't have fought against that, and he should have apologized to God for all of the bad things that he had done while he was the king, because he had his chance. He had his chance to be a good leader and a good king, and unfortunately, he was not, and so God rejected him. And so now Saul is starting to understand that God is rejecting him, and he's starting to realize also that David is going to be the next king when he starts hearing all of these praises. Because here's what Saul says: they have credited David with 10,000s, and they have only credited me with thousands. What more can he have but the kingdom? So Saul starts to realize that David is going to be the next king, and he starts fighting against it. And this starts all of David's problems with Saul, because it says in verse 9, Saul watched David from that day and forward. Alrighty, faithful listeners, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. And if you did, please share it on your social media platforms and tell people that the Bible Explained podcast exists. Thank you so much for those of you who already have rated and reviewed the podcast on Spotify and also on Apple Podcasts. You guys are awesome. I appreciate all of you. I will see you all on the next episode next week. On Monday, we'll talk more about some of the struggles that David and Saul are about to go through. So that'll be an interesting episode. But until then, happy weekend and God bless.